Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome back to Nintendo Voice Chat, Koopalings. Yeah, laying the smackdown. Okay, I am your host, Aji Drake.
Who was laying the smackdown?
I was. Nobody I did. Went, yeah.
She hit the table.
Did you hear?
It was aggressive.
Yeah. It was a very light smackdown. No,
it was the goddamn smackdown. Anyway, this is the end of the week. This is what happens
when we
switch to
Thursdays.
It's not
even the end of the week. It's the, like, Thursday.
Shush, Rich George.
It's the start of the second week inside this week.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian Altano.
Thank you,
and then
Audrey.
There's also Andrew Goldberg.
Hi.
All right.
There we go.
First of all, thanks to everybody who listened last week and came back this week.
Yeah, and there's going to be a little more of that this week.
Honestly, the reaction was overwhelmingly positive outside of a couple people that like had never heard the word fuck before and were really squeamish
They're
about
like,
it.
This? Hold on.
If you haven't heard it, that's what it sounds like.
No, I mean, you know, people were getting kind of, I mean, a couple people were a little sensitive
Everyone
about it.
Everyone has heard that word by elementary school, let's be honest.
I had never heard it until just now.
Okay, that's why we don't have you on enough. Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
Anyway, this week we're doing, there's no news, so
not
we're going to
really.
Do lots of reader mail.
Outside of Iwata doing a Q&A with investors, and to be honest, there wasn't, it's just, those things are always just reiterating facts, it's not, or opinion, not facts. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I couldn't tell you anything that he said. He did call the relationship between a TV and traditional consoles parasitic.
Yeah.
And some outlets were like, ooh, I'm like,
I think he's being literal. I don't
know. You know, it's kind of, yeah, right? I can kind of understand where he's coming from. The console needs the TV. So what else?
I think that's a
fine comparison. I don't know. Whatever.
Yep.
I don't know. Anyway,
it's like peanut butter needs jelly.
Can you think of anything else that
peanut
was said last
week?
No, I mean a little bit of talking about competitors and online and stuff, but nothing crazy.
Yeah.
How old is this? The Avengers promo on this can?
Yeah.
It's probably a couple months old.
Scooby-Doo villain that fills our soda machine just
keeps
using
cans. It's been like
cans.
3 minutes and we're already talking about Dr. Pepper cans.
Do you guys have any other visual props that
right
people
here.
Can't see at home that make great radio?
It's a Dr. Pepper can and Thor's on
anyway,
it.
Anyway, we are going to play a game called Reader Question
Not
Hot
hard.
Potato.
Ooh.
Yeah. Thank you, Fab. So we have a list of questions. We got some tweets and junk and we're going to pass
Wait.
Them around.
And we're
going to
be holding
one.
Hot potatoes while we answer them.
But yeah, that too.
Who came up with hot potato? Was that you or him? Because it's bad enough that either of you could have thought of that.
That was me. Farb supports it.
Rich, Nintendo's not putting out games. We have to make up our own.
Yeah.
That's true. All right.
Let's play Count the Fingers. Please put out a Wii game. Please. Make Mario 5 anything. Just please. Thank you.
You ruined the next podcast. That was going to be Count the Fingers. Anyway.
Count the Fingers is really hard, by the way.
All right. So, Brian, you want to... kick off hot potato.
Did I lose
whatever
the game
I called
already?
It. You did. You counted wrong.
All right, so I'm reading.
Just pick a random one.
Just random.
Should
this
we cross?
Be,
wait,
awesome.
Do you have a pen? You
yeah,
want to cross
gonna
them
say,
off?
This is going to be really unorganized.
That's
yeah.
a genius.
Rich
move.
Has like 11 pens. He's not offering you one.
And make sure you cross them out after
He's
you read them.
Mega
otherwise,
Man boss pin.
I like how we're telling each other what to do, even though we're on air right now. You want that pen? All right,
thanks, man.
Yeah, totally.
Where's my pen?
You don't get one.
Yay! Okay.
Oh, you okay. have another one?
I have that gross one that I threw away. That was
you
covered
have
in
your
hair.
Pocket? That's frightening.
It was tape and hair. That was
more
the weird
things
part.
That yeah. people at home can't see.
We're sorry.
Thank you.
Anyway.
I like your shirt.
Thanks, man.
It's blue.
No, it could be anything because no one. It's full of bullet holes. It's, you survived the war. Lindsay Schroeder says,
"I looked down." Like, is it?
Lindsay Schroeder says, "I'm thinking I may get a 3DS XL when it comes out, but I'm assuming I'm going to have to surrender all my street passes and puzzle progress. Has Nintendo made it clear if we can somehow transfer the info, Ambassador Games certificate, saves, pictures, Street Pass Plaza, Mii's games, everything?"
Yeah. Okay. We get asked this question a lot, actually, mm-hmm. and it all transfers over. I've done this when I got my Zelda 3DS.
Explain how.
Yeah. Basically, it's in the system settings. You go to transfer 3DS data, and you'll choose the one you're transferring from, the one you're transferring to, and then a bunch of Pikmin will come along and move all your stuff.
Literally.
Not literally.
Oh, okay.
I just like using literally where it makes no sense.
Real Pikmin don't materialize out of the ether.
They're screaming at the top of your lungs. They're real, Brian.
Don't you follow Captain Olimar on Twitter?
No.
He takes pictures of his little Pokemons and posts them.
But anyway, yeah. So
I did read that some stores are even let you do it in the store.
Oh, really?
Well, some stores. I mean transfer. Oh, man. Not just, don't go into GameStop and have sex with something. That would be a first.
Yeah, probably not. Hopefully. That would be a guess.
Anyway. But yeah, your street passes, your saves, your pictures, everything you could possibly want to transfer. Your ambassador certificate, you get to keep it.
Ugh. The only picture of my 3DS is from the day I bought it, and I was like, oh, how does the camera? Oh, okay.
I have a lot of sad pictures of, like, my Nintendo cat and hats and stuff. Yeah. You know you do, too. Come on.
I only have a handful of pictures, and I think it's on the black 3DS I have at my desk, but when Iwata gave his GDC speech, I was putting like Mario and Link up on the stage. Mm-hmm. I think with him, because I don't think we could live blog. I think there were like signal issues or something. So I was like, well.
So you chose the next best thing. Yeah.
The lowest res camera available to you.
Yeah.
I love the 3DS camera because when you turn it to face you, it's just the worst picture you could possibly take.
Yep.
It's just like, hey, there's your neck fat. You look like a white bullfrog.
Wow.
Right. It's rough.
It's like, I think that's me. I'm in 3D-ish.
It's the most unflattering angle you could possibly take a photo of. So no, I haven't saved any pictures online.
For me, it's like when you're playing Find Me, you have to hold down the triggers to make the dialogue go faster. Mm-hmm. And every time, it's just like a habit, because that's like what I mostly do with my 3DS. And so when I turn on the system, I hit the L button, and then the stupid camera opens, and I'm like, oh.
That makes me so angry.
Yeah, I do that almost every time I pick up my 3DS.
Who needs to quickly access their 3DS camera?
Exactly.
Really?
Well, no except one. For Rich at
oh,
a
man,
GDC
I gotta take
conference.
A really bad picture of this thing that looks beautiful in real life, but I don't have a camera.
Put aside my iPhone.
All right. Second question. This is actually in addition to the transfer stuff. I mean, everyone is thinking about the XL and whether they're going to buy it or not. And I think we keep prompting them to think about it because UK just put up a video tour of it earlier this week, that sort of stuff. It was their unboxing. Really, the only difference that we know of between ours and theirs is their manual is about five times the size because it's in every language known to God, and they don't get an AC adapter, and we do.
So, no, USA.
They get silver and black. So, you know.
It's a good trade-off.
UK.
I actually have a quick question.
Yeah.
Does it come with a dock like
cradle.
The original 3DS?
Yeah.
Thing?
No indication of that. UK did not, and my understanding is the only difference is AC adapter or not. So I think the cradle is gone, which is fine because that would have just been silly.
I've never used mine.
I have no idea where mine is. You just reminded me that it even existed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I tried to use it for a little while, and then I just realized it was this pain in the ass thing that was just sitting on my counter, and I was like, why do I have this? And I think all of mine are gone at this point. Yeah. I remember, I think it was Bozon was trying to advocate why it was kind of cool. He's like, look, you just put it there. And I'm like, I could just plug it into.
Yeah.
It's not.
No, this takes away one of the steps.
I know, exactly. And it's not that great looking of a system anyway, so I'm not really sure why I care about having it sitting out there like that. But, you know, the big question that everybody else is asking in addition to transfer is, would you buy one? Especially if you weren't working at IGN and get them sent to you.
I work at IGN. I don't get them sent
to me. Yeah, me neither.
Nobody sends me shit.
That is weird how that works. All right. Well, then that makes you guys perfect.
It's good to be on the Nintendo team.
Yeah, totally. Suckers.
So what do you guys think?
Yeah, would you buy one?
I was thinking you guys should maybe get us some.
It's on our to-do list, Brian.
It is?
Say we failed at doing that and we suck and we're awful people. Would you buy one?
That's not a hypothetical world. That's a reality.
Oh, snap.
No, yes.
I'm a cheerleader over here.
He's my boss now. I have to support him.
This is true. We can make that announcement. I'm Gofar's boss now.
Rich is my boss. I don't support him.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, but that's the difference between our bosses.
I would in a heartbeat the second they came out with a color that wasn't crappy.
Right.
I will
not a blue or red.
You don't like Mega Man Blue?
No, I don't.
What?
What the?
You just named it Mega Man Blue?
Yeah. It looks a lot better. Like, seeing it in videos and pictures now, it looks a lot better than it did in the Nintendo PR thing. It's a little darker than
just,
it looked like.
Just wait until you see. Oh, okay. So you've seen. Yeah. I've only seen silver.
So it's like
Mega
Man X Blue.
No, so the blue actually looks pretty good. Like, in
so
the
I know what's going to happen.
More proof. That's what color I'm taking.
No, you already agreed.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
Okay, we'll discuss this later.
Remember?
You want to go get a coffee?
So I just We're just going to argue about this for an hour.
I know what's going to happen. You guys are going to get them in the office. I'm going to pick one up for 3 seconds. I'm going to go on Amazon and order one.
Exactly.
That's gonna happen. And they're going to put out a new color
when
a couple weeks later.
When you see a DS game actually competent on it. Yeah.
I've been, like, I have a deal with Colin Moriarty. He's giving me $100 for my current 3DS, and then I'm upgrading.
That's a great deal. If I could get a regular 3DS for $100, though.
Yeah, I think it's a good deal for both of us.
Yeah.
But I've been looking at pictures and stuff online because now a lot of outlets have them, including us. We have a really good like unboxing video and messing around with the system itself. And the thing that totally sold me, I don't even remember where it was, but someone had a comparison shot where they took an original 3DS and a 3DS XL, and they had the main title screen of Ocarina of Time. And just from seeing that, I was like, yep. XL for sure. Like, it looks so good.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it.
Like, even if I didn't work here, I think I'd buy one. I mean, I play DS games all the time still. And just to actually be able to play them and them look good, look great even, like, that's a huge selling point for
me. If Colin hadn't brought that up, I really still think I would have just not gotten one. Because I really like everything about it other than the fact that it's bigger. Like, I'm still not sold on having a bigger system. I keep my 3DS in the side pocket of my bag, and I don't know if the XL is going to fit there. Not that that's, like, the end of the world, but just, like, a little stupid
stuff.
To
be honest,
though,
the DSi XL, you sit there and you're like, God, it's so much bigger. And yet the footprint isn't actually that much bigger. That's the weird thing about it. Like, it's not that much bigger. They managed to get the screen size significantly larger without making the actual footprint of the thing that much bigger. I mean, I have a small pouch at the top of my backpack, and it fits a 3DS comfortably, and I have an XL, and I was the DSi XL, and I was sitting there going, oh crap, I'm not going to fit this in there. But it actually works. It's just and to me, this is not a thing I'm carrying in my pocket anyway. It never is. It never was. So if they make it a little bit bigger and they fix all the button issues, which I had a problem with, I'm still curious to see how the D-pad feels and how the buttons feel. I think our UK counterparts described them as clicky, which I think that means DSi, but I'm not really sure.
You put a little D-pad's bit of an accent on that.
The D-pad's kind of clicky now.
I would say, I would say on 3DS and DS Lite, it's more
mushy, squishy.
Which are the stupidest terms ever.
Adjective cast.
I know, exactly.
These are real box quotes.
We're writers, damn it.
Squishy, mushy buttonies.
But I would say that DSi...
it's add a Y to it.
Knowing Nintendo, they will quote us on this stuff. Actually, that was I was looking at the Magic the Gathering, the XBL game that just came out, XBLA. They did an update or whatever, and we're featured in a quote on their website, and all it says is, like, I don't remember the exact quote, but it was basically like, this is the latest installment in this series. That was it. That was the entire quote. It was like, this game exists, and it's listed under accolades. I'm like, really?
This is a game, IGN.
Newest thing award.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
This exists. Anyway. I think with all the extra buttons, just they're redoing everything that I really didn't like about the 3DS.
The D-pad bigger is huge for me.
Yeah, although I suspect it's just very small.
The D-pad was way too small.
Can you imagine
original?
If they kept... Because all the buttons are bigger from what I understand. If everything was the same size, it would look so stupid. Yeah. It would be like, wow, there's a lot of room for an analog stick here.
I have a feeling it's just so incremental, though, that you may not notice the difference
I'm sure it grew the same percentage that the body of the system itself grew. Like, I'm sure it's proportional to the 3DS.
Maybe, yeah.
My thing is, like, they made all of the design choices I wanted them to make. I just feel like 2 years from now or a year from now, if they unveil... A new system with all of these same types of buttons that's the size of the regular 3DS, I will downgrade to that. Like, I will go from an XL to that.
But here's the funny thing to me is that every time I play, not every time, but a lot of the times when I'm playing a 3DS game, I'm sitting there going, God, I wish this screen was bigger.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just like, why can't I see the revelations in a bigger size? You know, all these things. Mm-hmm. So I think that actually increasing it a bit is actually a good thing. It's not really a portable to begin with. It's not like my phone. Nothing is going to be like my phone. But
I haven't put a handheld system in my pocket in 15 years.
Yeah, that's exactly. Because
they're too nice. In your bag.
Well,
yeah,
that's the thing.
Like, I wouldn't put my Vita in my pocket.
In there.
Yeah. It's like, guys, remember the Game Boy?
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, that's the thing. You guys have totally convinced, like, my big complaint with the size, and I think you guys have kind of talked me down from that, because you're right, like, really the use case for using my 3DS is that I'm sitting on my couch. If I want to play a game really on the go, I'm either carrying my 3DS or my Vita in my bag, or I'm just playing my iPhone, honestly. Yeah. Like,
I saw a guy on the train the other day playing with the original Game Boy Advance. And just also, he's moving it so like he couldn't even see because it's so dark.
Yeah, oh yeah, because it wasn't even backlit.
Right? Shoulder him, show him my 3DS, and be like, dude,
welcome to a new world.
Guess what they've done in the last 15 years? It's crazy.
He's like, no.
That's actually the interesting thing about being in Japan is the amount of people playing a DS of any type, or I think I even saw some Game Boys and old stuff like that. It's just vastly more than here. You know, when I'm on the
bus. That's so cool.
That's like the genesis of street pass.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I mean, I ride the bus system here in SF. And I mean, there's much more public transportation here than most places in the U.S., with a few exceptions. And
Was that wrong? Was Barb, by the way.
Are you like the guy in the wheelchair in Breaking Bad? I think that was a no.
Exactly.
Wait, now I'm aware that it's within.
That's only like one. No, get it away from her.
Oh, I'm giving it to her.
We're only like 1 week away from Breaking Bad.
Okay, this is going to be great.
Yeah. So I'm going to start doing. Sorry, listeners. I'm gonna
I know you told me.
I want to start having people to my apartment for like
Gold Farm
new episodes.
Breaking Bad screenings.
Yeah.
You hear that? Like anybody listening?
Yeah, you're all invited.
You're all invited to Gold Farm's place.
Howdy, Farbs.
Yeah. What the hell was I talking? Oh, just just in Japan.
Mission accomplished.
You see a lot more people playing that stuff.
Wait,
and it's
did
actually,
she hear that?
That's the time to move on, Bill. That's
anyway.
I like that.
Your turn,
actually.
Barb. Actually, that's great.
Hand me
idea.
That bell when Audrey starts to talk.
It's like the gong.
No, I will not.
All right, pick a question, Barb.
I'm picking this one because it's about the best game on 3DS. What do you guys think happened to the 3DS Animal Crossing this year? Just a few months ago, Iwata called it Animal Crossing Jump Out in Japan, gave it a fall 2012 release date for them. Yet we hear nothing of it at E3. Do you think they're deliberately holding back in a game we saw 2+ years ago at E3 just to space out games more? Or is it legitimately still being developed?
It is legitimately still being developed. Iwata just gave an update on it, basically saying that it is still kind of due out. And they're being vague, but fall in Japan. E3 traditionally is a more US-centric show. And so that is what they chose to focus on.
To be fair, though, fall in Japan lasts for 4 years.
I mean, and also don't forget. And this question
it's
may
like
have,
winter in Game of Thrones.
That question may have shown up. they gave us a trailer at Nintendo Direct, so you know that question may have been post E3 pre Nintendo Direct because we haven't done this in a while. But anyway, there you go.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that game, man.
I'm so excited too. Anyone who is cool is excited for that game.
Yep.
Yeah, so. Audrey, I will probably log 100 hours in that game so fast.
I don't even want to know. I'm glad there's not a time counter on Wild World. It would be sad.
I can't wait for that game. We're gonna be at work like trading fruits and stuff.
I know exactly.
It's like, oh, Brian's got a coconut.
Yeah,
and that's like a game that like even Greg and Moriarty and a few other people are talking about. Like, I feel like we can get a ton of people in on that game.
Well, now they have a thing where you can street pass and see each other's houses and stuff.
Oh, the best.
That's awesome. You can customize fences.
And it's cool too because like now, you know.
Yeah, I'm excited.
The DS version had, or Wild World had like those really cool Nintendo items like the spinning fire block and like the question block. But they were really hard to get. Like you had to go to special events or go to Toys R Us on a certain day or whatever.
Or it had to be like a super special sale.
Right, exactly. But like Spot Pass, they can just be like, oh, like this game's coming out. So now you can get a thing in your house.
For the Wii version. That's like one of the cool things about that.
The
version
only
is,
thing that's cool about
like I wasn't crazy about
folk.
That one, but they'd every now and then just give you a cool prize via.
That's the best. Like it just it's awesome thinking about like you know if there's a Metroid game coming to DS, they're like now everyone gets a Morph Ball for their house. Like that's really cool.
Are you done checking your phone, Rich, or you want to participate?
I'm doing important things. Oh. I don't care about your dumb game with animals.
Wow.
Aww.
That's like every Nintendo game is a dumb game with animals.
That like disqualifies the half of them.
Put them in ships and let them fight robot chimpanzees and then we'll talk.
Yes.
Okay. Moving on.
More of that.
Okay. Connor J, or Zajumpin', says, what games do you love to play, but does not get the respect it deserves, or is mostly disliked by others? Mine is
Everything
Kirby Air
Vita.
Ride.
True,
no,
it
does not get the respect it deserves.
Oh,
sorry.
Right.
You guys?
That's hard. I
what
mean,
game do you like that other people think is bad, but you love?
Killer 7. Okay.
The room dies. Podcast over.
I love that game, and it's a decidedly mediocre game in most people's eyes, and I thought it was very fun.
Yeah. I love the Mega Man Battle Network series, but
those
people,
are great.
Yeah, people, especially here, are like, those games are trash. I was like, no, it's really clever gameplay, really great games.
I know of a few currently that aren't out yet that people are kind of iffy on, and I think that they have potential. I know a few folks here weren't keen on the Resident Evil 6 demo. And I don't think it's a great demo, but I still have hope for the game in general. But I don't know. I mean, something like Far Cry 2, where I think a lot of people weren't happy with that game, but I actually really liked it. That's probably the one that comes to mind that's off the top of my head anyway. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you mean Nintendo platform specifically, it's funny because third-party support has been so iffy in like this generation that most of the games I'm playing and liking are these great first-party games that everyone's giving nines and tens. So it's like, for Nintendo platform specifically, it's hard to answer.
I mean, depends on who you talk to, right? Because if you talk to the wrong group or whatever, if you walk into like a you know, really diehard group of like PlayStation fans or something like that, suddenly all Nintendo games are crap. And then you're like, well, I like them.
They like, you know, Mario. Who likes that shit? And you're like, me?
Yeah. Although I will say that despite the fact that, you know, sort of all the groups here tend to like go strictly into their camps or whatever, we actually all do like playing a lot of the different stuff. Like when we had Greg and Moriarty on here, they do know their stuff and they are checking out the 3DS stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because Moriarty especially has this.
Yeah,
like,
he's
people,
huge Nintendo fan.
People think he hates Nintendo, but dude, that dude follows Nintendo more closely than anyone. Like, I think he's just... He's disappointed in some of the more recent software decisions, but like he's buying a 3DS for me.
Well,
like
you could put most NES and Super NES games in front of Moriarty, and he will fuck them up. Like he just goes through. He beats video games like I've never seen before. Like that dude is the wizard when it comes to old school games. It's amazing to watch. Like I saw him sit down and play the first Castlevania game, and he had a crowd of 12 people around him. And he's like, if I lose the special fire,
the holy water
the whole,
or whatever,
if I lose the holy water here, I'm going to start the whole game over. I'm like 90% through the game. He's like, no, I have to. You can't go to the end without the holy water. I got to throw it at Frankenstein's head 8 times and then get the meat out of the wall. Okay. This question confuses the crap out of me, but I'm going to read it anyway. Why did you even put this here, Rich? Daniel.
That was hers.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe.
Daniel HTLI, Daniela Hutatila.
That's totally her.
Says,
I would never do that.
The 3DS has lots of first party games, including T Law's Oot 3D, Star Fox 64 3D, Super Mario 3D Land, Mario Kart 7, and Kid Icarus Uprising. If Nintendo were to, they would never do this, but take all of these. Take all of these games from the this is what it says. Take all of these games from the retailers and everybody who bought it and throw it in the trash can.
Oh man.
Preventing everyone from playing that game anymore.
Except
one game. Which game would you keep?
Best story ever. I saw this question in the inbox and I totally ignored it.
Yeah. You made a good move.
Here is Audrey putting
it. Now it's coming out of my mouth.
I mean, I hate that
we get a lot of these hypothetical questions, by the way.
By default, you have to say Ocarina of Time because it's like I can't throw away Ocarina of Time. Like I want to pick that.
Well, you'd still have Ocarina of Time.
I can't get past this hypothetical picture.
Like, 3D Land.
We get a lot of
3D Land's the one game I tell people to buy the system for.
Like that's the game that shows you what the
3DS. If Nintendo went into every store. And took back all
like
of
you
their
and
games
I are actually answering the question, and they're making fun of me.
Went to everyone's houses and took their games. Which game would you play?
Hey, Altano.
I don't know. The game where I call cops?
Hey, Altano.
I like
if you had to go skydiving and then land on your face, or if you had to cross a bed of hot coals, which one would you do?
Which game would you play?
Yeah. No, I
murdered everyone in time, and you can only save one president from time murder. Who would it be? I like Abe Lincoln. Who is your favorite? I don't know. Zelda?
Nicolas Cage.
Really?
No, the only reason these questions are just so hard to answer because they're just so like.
Let me make it really easy. I'll make it really easy. Watch. What's your favorite 3DS game? Done. No, like end of the world hypothetical. No Nintendo or time cops that can break into people's homes like anti Santa Claus.
I admire.
What's your favorite
some of these
3DS?
Guys.
Just say a game.
Five and I already answered
Pokemon
the
Rumble.
Perfect. Great.
Wow.
I like.
Did you really say Pokemon
can I
Rumble?
Can I fire you? Because
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Moving.
I pick 3D Land. Thank you.
Moving right along.
3D Land's the right answer.
3D Land. Yeah.
No. Seriously, thanks for asking.
Daniel helped.
Yeah. They're gonna ride in real soon. Thanks,
well, here's the thing. I sometimes
be nicer to Daniel.
I love all of you. I love all you guys that write in, but like it's amusing because like I swear some of you guys are like Jigsaw, like trying to just come up with the most elaborate trap
don't
of a question ever.
Jigsaw?
No, but it's like you're trying to come up with like the first you have to climb over the spikes and
I
then
love
the right.
No, it's fine. It's right. I'll no, answer
be,
your question seriously.
Be nicer to Daniel. But Daniel's writing teacher, be meaner to Daniel.
Okay,
all right. I hate
go.
All of Audrey's
Move
questions.
Along,
moving
go.
Along. All right.
Good use of the bat.
Thank you. This is getting out of control. But did you just throw my question?
Oh, did throw away your questions. Okay. All right, here's a good one. This is the best question of the day.
Oh, one of yours? Cake or pie? Is that the one?
It is, isn't it?
I'm actually excited for this one.
All right.
The great cake or pie debate.
All right.
Okay, let's go around.
Audrey.
Cake.
Cake, why?
I like cake.
All right.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. That's your thing?
Well.
That's the best explanation
you
can do.
You write things descriptively for a living.
I know.
I like things because it is.
The thing to remember is
remember that it includes cheesecake.
Okay.
This is how all of her reviews start.
That.
I like this game. Why?
Your start, because I hate this game. Yeah. Went there.
Yep. Gold five. Cake or pie?
Pie. All the way pie. 100%
which one?
Pie.
No, which
pie? Oh, I thought you were asking which one.
No,
oh, which
like
pie? Oh, wow.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Which pie? Pie.
2.14.
the normal one.
Ooh, this is hard. Okay, so coconut cream is amazing.
Okay.
I mean,
that's it.
Overall, my favorite is pecan, but apple coconut cream, depending on how they're made, can be amazing. Well, I mean, dude, my best friend's girlfriend makes pie for a living. Okay. I got to try all the pies for like a year, so I'm really into pie.
Oh, yeah, well, my uncle's nephew bakes cakes for a living.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
He's called your cousin.
Uncle's nephew.
What is that?
You broke me.
Wait, wouldn't that be like your brother or something?
No. I don't even know. But he makes cakes.
Altano, you have a story. Cake or pie? Go.
Oh wait, which is yours?
Cake or pie?
Which is yours?
Cake or pie?
I want to know what is going to be served
question,
at you and Audrey's divorce.
I used to say
cake, but I found this place in San Francisco that I'm going to pimp because this is what people at IG do. And like Andrew did it with SF Soup Co. and
Galtano Pimp.
Yeah, SF Soup Co.
There's a place that me and my girlfriend found recently called Chili Pies in San Francisco, and they make like
chili.
Well, they make
in pies.
They make dinner pies and stuff like you know. Weird, like chicken pot pies and stuff like that. But
yeah, that's
also,
really weird.
But no, I mean like with chili and Fritos
like
and crazy crap like that.
Fritos? What? Yes. Fritos?
Yeah. Now you back off, right?
Who gives you Frito pot pie? Is a little different than chicken pot pie.
Okay, well that was a gateway drug. What are you doing, Goldfarb?
Nothing. I'm pointing something out.
Don't do that.
No, I know. That's a real question.
Okay, so anyway, but they make really amazing dessert pies, too.
Okay.
And they made one the other day that you go in there and they just kind of on the fly, they're just like, here's what we decided to make today because we're crazy people.
Yeah.
But they made a chocolate, I think it was chocolate peanut butter with caramel-covered pretzel pie. And I ate it.
I would just like that.
I was like, this is the best thing I've ever put in my mouth. Sorry, baby.
Moving along. Rich.
But yes, go to Chili Pies in San Francisco. Tell them I sent you.
Okay, ask for something.
Go for it. Go.
All right.
I gave you that paper like two minutes ago. We need to move back to Tuesday.
It's official. We can't handle End of the Week podcast.
Thursday just melts our brain.
Okay. I think
we're done
actually,
by then.
This is actually a really interesting one from Jonathan. How do you think we will be controlling Link in a... I think he means eventually. He's not talking about one specifically. How do you think we will be controlling Link when a Zelda game comes to the Wii U? And an even scarier question, do you think Nintendo has figured that out yet? I think that's interesting because the Touch Zeldas, at least in my opinion, were like a mess. Like, I thought it was a really bad choice to force you into touch controls. Mm-hmm.
They won't
say that. Is he saying for Wii U?
He's saying for Wii U.
Yeah. They've said before, Aonuma has said before, that he'd like to stick with the motion controls because it worked so well with Skyward Sword.
But the interesting thing is Miyamoto has contradicted him and actually said that he thinks that in some ways by going motion control... Yeah. They may have alienated some folks who don't necessarily want to go that way.
That's the lesson they need to learn is options. Just don't force anyone into anything. Offer like 10 different options.
No,
like,
no, so that doesn't work either because that's sort of how like regular developers do things. I mean, like seriously.
They like to build the game around the gameplay.
That's the thing is like the Skyward Sword, and you and I have talked about this, and it sounds like, you know, if you really like do some application and like really rework like a, say, a 360 controller, you can kind of mimic the
like
the
people
Skyward
have
Sword
it. People have had, like hacked Skyward Sword and they're playing it with a 360 controller and they assigned everything and it apparently works really well.
So you can do it. And like, I mean, it's possible, although I would argue that the intuitive nature of just swinging a remote in a direction is far more than like press L, then hold L, then move your controller.
Sure.
And, you know, and then like, but that aside, like, they still program and design precisely to that idea versus like press X to attack. You know?
Right, but
and
if the idea they were designing around was that you can use it with multiple control inputs, I think it would work. Like, look at Twilight Princess. Twilight Princess was built around Wii controls, but
so you're saying
it still
like
works
you could
fine
you
on
would
GameCube.
Have the Skyward Sword mechanics, but you could control it
Yeah, it's just, yeah, you yeah. just have the option. Like, so, you can kind of bring up Vita a lot. Like, I think, like, Vita has a bunch of really dumb, gimmicky touch controls on it, but they're never anything you have to turn off in a menu. Right. Like, they're just, you just use them or don't use them. And I think that's a really smart approach for Nintendo. Just, like, put in motion controls, and that might even be the superior way to play the game, but allow people the option of having touch or having analog.
I'm going
to
call it now.
Whatever.
You're going to control him with a joystick, and then there'll be certain things that you'll use the touch screen for, like...
I mean, that's
like walking into a room, you'll see five enemies on your map screen. You'll click on all of them, and the boomerang will hit all of them.
I think it would be kind of interesting, actually.
Because actually controlling Link with the touchscreen was bad.
It was terrible.
But solving puzzles with it and stuff and using the boomerang and certain items was pretty cool.
Using it for items and stuff, it worked really well. Yeah.
So I think a perfect mix of that. And don't do any motion again. Just,
I think it would be interesting, like, if you actually, you know, it's like swipe diagonally and you did a quick diagonal swipe or something. And you'd have to do it differently because, obviously, you don't want to, like, press X to attack, then swipe the direction or whatever. That doesn't work, but you could come up with some sort of mechanic and explanation for the mechanic that allows you to do, you know, directional swipes on the touchpad in addition to traditional controls.
So it's like Zelda meets Fruit Ninja.
Yeah, right.
But that's what's so...
I could do that.
It could be. It would have to be some. It would have to be some sort of mechanic built into the game, like a magic spell or I don't know.
So I think that actually does make sense, and that like Infinity Blade has you doing spells that way and stuff. My thing is, at this point, ironically, making a Zelda game where you just use a controller, where you could play it with the Wii U Pro controller without any extras, would be a different move for Zelda. Because every Zelda since, like since Wind Waker, has had some kind of touch or motion gimmick. And it's like, I think some of them are smart. Some of them, like, probably do increase gameplay, but just give me the option of playing with the controller. I would love to just play through a Zelda game without worrying about it.
Exactly. I mean, are you talking DS games too? I mean, you're talking two DS games and one Wii game, basically. Because Twilight Princess was traditional button control.
On GameCube.
Don't forget Crossbow Dragon, guys.
Which is, like, impossible to find when it came out.
I own it.
The GameCube one?
Yeah. It came out a month later. So, I mean, if by impossible to find, you mean not released yet.
No, it was super hard to find when it came out.
Sure. I mean, like, what I'm saying is that game exists in two dual formats. Almost actually exactly what you're advocating.
I mean, I feel like it would be really cool to play through a Zelda game, like, in HD with a controller. Yeah.
However, what I would say, though, is that you're talking about alternate controls, and Twilight Princess, I think, is actually a great indication of what happens when you try to give people those options, because you're looking at it, and it's like, what, you know, they had to reduce waggling to basically just, you know, digital input. You know, waggle real quick, and that's beat hitting.
Sure,
beat,
but Ocarina of Time works fine. You lock on, and you...
No, I agree. I'm just saying that doing those alternate controls, in you know, restricts a developer from doing truly innovative gameplay around that mechanic.
Motion controls would simplify it a little. Like, it would take away some of the strategy that really enhanced Skyward Sword to me.
Yeah. Sure, I mean...
like, it's harder to do that in a full 3D game.
So I agree that I'm sure it is very... It is much harder to have multiple control inputs, but that said, I think it's worth it for the user experience. And I think even Miyamoto said that. Like, in that Miyamoto interview, what he was saying wasn't like, oh, we really fucked up with motion controls. What he was saying was like, you know, it was bad that we forced people to use motion controls.
I think it's the same thing with the DS and those games, is where, you know, you're forcing somebody, you're like, well, we have a touchpad, so you must use it to move him around. Yeah. It's like, just let me use the D-pad, please.
Well, because that's what Audrey, Audrey's defense is always Animal Crossing let you do both. And Animal Crossing can use the D-pad or you can do the touch control. Like, and it's so much better that way, because whatever you prefer, you have
whatever you feel at the moment. Yeah.
It's a tough bet to make, because, like, when you're talking about the people who sort of you know, pulling in a 360 controller and sort of re-rigging Skyward Sword to work with that, it probably takes, like, you know, several more buttons to make that idea work.
Yeah.
And there is a simplicity in how Skyward Sword operates.
Sure.
It's tricky, though, because, like, if I'm going to buy a Wii U and I'm going to have my gamepad, well, I want to see a Zelda game that uses that Wii pad, whatever the hell, you know. And, like, if I'm playing, Like, if I'm playing, if I'm,
it's like something that you train a puppy with.
My mom bought you a special.
But, you know, if I'm using the Wii remote and the nunchuck with my Wii U Zelda game, part of me is just sitting there going, when do I get to play a Zelda game that uses the gamepad? And that's sort of the weird part about Pikmin. Like, I was sitting there going, man, I can't wait to move the Pikmin around with the pad and, like, you know, circle them with the stylus and move them around, and here I am, like, pointing at the screen and clicking, and it works fine. But at the same time, I'm sitting there going, man, what, there goes my hopes of having an RTS.
I don't want to use the Wii Remote and then the Nunchuck ever again.
Right.
I want to get a new system that has new toys and new games to play for, and I can sit there with this brand new controller.
You're not getting a new system.
You're
getting a U system. Hit the bell.
All right, yep, moving along. Since Rich made fun of my question, we'll ask his great question.
We asked my great question.
Any Wii U launch window games they haven't revealed yet? Tell us about all these games.
That was the one I pointed out to Rich. Yeah.
Look, I think
we're proud to announce here today.
Yeah. Go on.
I think
hold on, Miyamoto just walked in.
Yeah. What's that?
Oh. Reggie, what are you doing here?
No, I mean, I think a lot of people, and again, we're talking about a range of questions that sort of bridge
from bad post- to terrible.
Well, here, can we guess ports? Like, because I would totally say Resident Evil 6 will come to the Wii U.
I feel like it has to.
Yeah.
Like, actually, and I don't know if this question's in the group, but someone was like, when is Capcom going to announce support? And this is the weird thing with this system, and you contrast it with the 3DS, and granted, very different dev environments, very blah, blah, blah. Everything's very different. But when 3DS was announced, it was like, here's Capcom, here's Konami, here's THQ, here's all these other companies, except for THQ never put anything out for it, but they did All-Stars, but you know, they just listed off all the companies, boom, 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 and this one's been very different, where it's like crickets almost, and they're like, oh yeah, and Tecmo Koi. It's like, wait, that's it? Like, where's the next one? Where's the next one? It's like, oh yeah, and EA. You know, and it's been a very, very different thing, night and day. I do agree. I think I just feel like RE6 shows up at some point. But the problem is that you're looking at that in just that specific case. You're looking at a game that just moved up its release date.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any chance in hell, A, of the Wii U being out by that time, but B, even if it was a Wii U game arriving in time for that. So
I don't mean day and date, but I feel like as far as launch window games, I don't see why they couldn't port over.
I feel
over
like
some
Wii
U
is going to be the haven of like game of the year editions.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be like, here's RE6 with all of its extra crap, you know? And it's like, I hope that game's good. And hopefully all that DLC is great. And then we are like, oh, perfect. I don't know if there's DLC for RE6.
Calm down. That's why everybody, we know there's mercenary maps.
Capcom
never does DLC for their games.
It's true. That's right.
If you don't know there's going to be DLC for RE6.
Pretty sure.
They'll sell hats if they can.
So this is why
they sold Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah,
for RE6 DLC demo.
Nice.
This is why people think that Ultimate Rapture Edition for Bioshock could be for Wii U.
Because
I think that would be a really interesting port for Nintendo. There's like a lot of stuff that they could pretty easily do, you know, and like fighting games. Like, I'm really surprised we haven't seen like a Street Fighter Cross Tekken announcement or Marvel versus Capcom 3, because Capcom puts those on every system. Like, they're on Vita, they're on iPhone. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, which they deserve to be on the Wii U.
It is weird. It might say something about the fact that Nintendo is still sorting out some of the pieces of its puzzle or something like that.
Because and no one knows how successful the system will be yet. You know?
There's some of that, but I mean, it's just like Capcom supporting Vita, you know, Ubisoft is supporting Vita. Yeah. So, like, if you're going to support Vita, dear Lord, I think we could support Wii U. I don't know what's going on, but it's interesting.
They're going to have to do this stuff because I don't think a lot of Nintendo fans are trained in the ways of DLC yet. Like, I don't think a lot of Nintendo fans, they're really just used to getting this complete package, and here it is.
Well, it's like Theater Rhythm. The day it released is day one DLC.
Yeah.
8 other songs, and it's like, what?
Yeah, like, Nintendo fans are not used to that.
Nintendo's going to push its fans farther than a lot of these other companies are because... as of next month, and just over 4 weeks, we're looking at full retail release for Nintendo games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually going to go into this question right here.
No, there we go. Ooh, look at that.
Java says, will people who choose to download New Super Mario Bros. 2 be able to get Club Nintendo points for the game like anyone who purchased a retail copy? Obviously, you big dummy.
Yeah.
Well, actually, if you have your system linked,
we don't know. We don't know.
No,
they have not announced it yet.
You will. If your system is linked, any eShop title you buy, it'll be just like that. It'll show up on your profile.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Like,
so my question is for you guys.
Where are the platinum rewards? I know.
No, yeah, obviously.
but seriously, where are the platinum rewards?
Really? No, tell me.
It's been July 1st.
No one's allowed to leave this room until they let me know.
You can wait for your calendar,
Are you guys, I personally am going to keep buying these games retail.
Yeah,
I am.
That's just
too.
Like New Super Mario Brothers 2. That's like me. Like, I'm not going to just start downloading my Mario Brothers games.
But here's the thing. Like, you say that, but we talked about portability. Like,
he's saying you're a liar, Brian.
Well, no. I'm just saying. Like, I when I pre-ordered Vita, I pre-ordered four physical games with it. And I was like, oh, I'm just want physical games. That's how I am. And now I'm like, oh, God damn it. Every time I have to switch in a different cart. Like, honestly, having one system, if you have a big SD card in it with all of your games in it and not having to worry about losing the cartridge or anything, is really nice. Yep. It's also like in terms of, you know, if they do it right, it'll know that you purchased that game. If you lose your system, you know, you can re-download that game. Like stuff like once you log into your thing. I mean, like, that's really cool.
They're able to, I mean, it's system based, but I mean, if you have the ambassador games or whatever and you delete them, you can just go re-download them. So they'll let you re-download this stuff, but it's system based. So don't lose your
Here's the thing though. Like, this is coming from a company that has somehow managed to make me buy Super Mario Brothers and The Legend of Zelda every year for my entire life. Every year. Somehow. Yeah. They're just like, oh, you got to get it again. Now it's on a Game Boy Classic thing for $20. You got to buy it. And I'm like, all right, sure.
Yeah.
They're like, now it's on the Wii for $5. Sure. Hey, you bought a 3DS early. We ripped you off. Here, take it again. Sure.
Yeah.
So I know the Wii U is going to come out and they're going to be like, hey, who wants to play new Super Mario Brothers 2 for 3DS? And I'm like, oh, I bought that last year. And they're like, well, buy it again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to let me transfer it over. So, I mean, if I'm going to buy it again, I might as well at least have one physical copy.
I think you're able to you'll be able to transfer it from system to system. The big question is if you lose your system, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that happens because there is no server, to the best of our knowledge, there's no server-side check on this thing. It's just like, it's
they
on your
need
system.
That. Like, if they're entering the digital marketplace, they need to have that because that's how it works.
And Wii U will be there. I could almost envision I don't know if this is technically possible, but like a huge firmware update for 3DS at some point that really just shifts it over completely. Mm-hmm. That would be crazy and that would be very ambitious, but I think they just need to get there at some point. Otherwise, they're just going to have a nightmare on their hands.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to how Apple has sort of done that, where iOS and OS X are kind of slowly folding into each other. And I can kind of see that with the Miiverse and the 3DS eShop kind of becoming one like amalgamous thing.
Well, the downloads for me, it's not just about like ease of use. Cause I mean, it is easier to just have them all on your system, but I just also like just having my library of games that I go and look at them all. And
Exactly. Like that's why I love the idea of downloading full retail games. Cause the way that you turn your system right now and it's like, oh, I can play like any of these like NES games or whatever. Like imagine having a folder on your home screen that has like five full retail games, and if you want to play a quick level of, you know, 3D Land, or you want to play a quick New Super Mario Brothers level, you can do it.
Can't huggle download.
I wish we were at the point where you could just like you would always get both. Like
I bought the
physical retail game and I plugged it in my system, it was like, oh, we know who you are, you're cool, you bought this game, here's a download code. Now it's here for you always.
Yeah, or a way to like install it.
I always wish they would do that. If you buy the paper comic, they give you a download.
That whoever gets that right first is going to be smart. Like it's mind-boggling that Sony hasn't done that yet.
It's weird because it sort of makes the I guess it would just be for collectors really, because it would make it so the physical copy is immediately just useless, because it would, you'd be like, all right, I have the physical game, I put it in, it kind of honored that I had this thing in there, it gave me the download code, I downloaded the game to my system, I never need to put the game back in my system again. But I can put it on my shelf as a collector and just know that I have it,
which
is cool.
I mean, I think that's, I mean, I've sort of been struggling with it too, because I like owning physical games, but with 3DS, I'm at the point now where I don't care if I have the box. I just keep all the little carts in that that reward thing with all the little things. And I love that thing, but at the same time, even that is a little annoying to me because it's somewhere in the depths of my backpack. And it's like when I pull out the system, I'm like, what game's in here? All right, that's what I'm playing.
Yep.
And that's what I play. And then whenever right now it's Theater Rhythm, and whenever I swap that out, that is what I'll play. Mm-hmm. I'm actually like super excited to get New Super Mario Brothers 2 because then that'll be in the cart slot, and then I don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, it's weird, and I mean that's the one huge advantage of the iPhone. I think more than size or anything else, the fact that the games are just right there on my iPhone and I can just tap one and there it is and I can play it right there is huge. And gives them, I think it reduces the gap between, say, an iPhone. And I mean, everyone's like, ooh, graphics, blah, 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 blah. I don't think that matters nearly as much as just having that instant access to your
games. Most iPhone games have terrible graphics. Most of them do. Most of them developed by people who barely speak anything.
You say that, but they're getting a lot better.
They are. I mean, the best ones are getting better, but you go on the iTunes store now and you go like, hey, let me download a random game. It's like walking into a store in 1985 and trying to pick out an NES game. Where they're like, balloon poppers. And you're like, it says like, fun? And like, what? And proofread your shit. It's got like three N's and a Z at the end.
Yeah.
No, you're like, over eight levels with stages.
I agree with you.
It doesn't make sense.
I mean,
tell me something about your game.
It takes an enormous amount of work over there for them to try and weed out what is the best stuff. stuff, and God forbid you are like, I don't really like these 20 you've listed here. I'm going to just go into the wilderness and try and find one. Nope.
Yeah.
Not happening. You're going to find like a Pokemon ripoff or something.
Yeah, it's a Wild West out there. Like if you go into your iPhone and you go onto the, you know, download games and apps and you put in like Zelda or Mario, it's like you don't even know what you're going to get. There's all sorts of crazy shit in there.
All right.
Like iZelda.
Yes.
Which you should avoid like the plague.
All right. You want to just do one more each?
Yeah, we'll go. Okay. We'll go.
Rich,
around
why did you ask me to ask my Twitter people questions?
Yeah. Well, bring them up, man. When it gets to your turn, bring up.
Okay,
them.
I'll fire through a few when it gets to me.
Cool. I want to bring up Monster Hunter 3G and Monster Hunter 4. We got a new trailer for that just late last week, I think it was, or maybe it was earlier this week.
I think it was this week. Yeah.
And it was spring 2013 for Japan. Speaking of which, side note: Japan has the craziest and most awesome 3DS lineup. Just period. I don't know if you guys are like really keeping track of what they have over there, as everyone meticulously checks their email.
I'm looking at you.
I know you are. She's often
looking
Nintendo led. Of course you are. No, I just think, you know, speaking of Monster Hunter, like the lineup is crazy good.
Yeah,
it's one after the other. But anyway, and Monster Hunter 4 is coming to Japan in spring 2013. Alberto and Mike were being, well, Mike wrote in going, I can't find Monster Hunter 3G on Amazon. Where is it? And, you know, that is the question that everybody has. And then Alberto said, is it time to give up on the game? Any hope on Monster Hunter 4? I think to some degree, yeah, it might be time to give up on 3G. It just seems like Capcom isn't going to. I don't know.
I think
you're
it'll
shaking
still come.
Your head. You think it'll still
it'll
come?
It'll be one of those awful situations where it's like
just get it super late,
like 18 months after Japan.
You think they're just really biding their time for the install base to build?
Absolutely.
And you think what, 2013 then?
Yeah, let's say a year from now.
Okay. Wow, that's
like
a long
seriously
time,
I see that as like a summer game, you know, because it's clearly not coming before the holiday, right? Because we would know already. So I'm gonna say like probably not first quarter either. Like that just feels like a summer game to me.
Yeah.
They might even do like some kind of bundle or.
I don't think it. I mean, I personally don't think it's going to show. I think 4 has a much better chance of 3G. But if it were to show, I don't think it's entirely out of the realm of possibility that shows up this year. I think it's kind of crazy. But you look at a lot of the times the way Capcom announces stuff, and it's just like, by the way, it's coming out in 2 months.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's true. I guess they could announce it in September for like a December release or something.
I mean, it could just show up. I mean, I suspect we have at least one more 3DS-centric Nintendo Direct sometime this year. And we're obviously going to have plenty of Wii U stuff. And everything. I think given the fact that there's so much Wii U stuff, Nintendo will have to communicate some more 3DS.
It's just so right now, what's holiday stuff? It's Luigi's Mansion, Paper Mario.
We don't have firm release dates for anything. Obviously, New Super Mario is August. But then Pokemon is October. Which leaves Luigi and Paper Mario for vague, like November, December.
Those are all great. Like, those are four great games that are going to sell tremendously well. I would like to see one more. You know,
I mean, you also have Castlevania, Disney Epic Mickey.
Yeah. I'm saying first party. Like, I would like to see one more, like, Nintendo just be like, by the way, this is coming. Because, I mean, we know we're not
like
getting.
I'm forgetting one and then I'm going to look stupid. But no, I guess that's
well,
it.
Well, we know
I
we're not getting Fire Emblem or Animal Crossing until next year. So it's like, I don't know even know what it would be, but it's just like, I don't know. That doesn't feel to me. Yeah, I don't know. It's missing that like one game I'm super, super excited for the holiday. Like last year, it was 3D Land and Mario Kart. I was like, oh man, I can't wait till November.
I think New Super Mario Brothers is showing up really early this year, which sort of makes you go, oh, that's not a holiday game, but like it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that one. Yeah, I just think that's going to be tremendous. Luigi's Mansion, I think, has sort of the challenge of overcoming the last one, and I thought that was a fun little game, but it was. A fun little game, you know.
Yeah,
it was like
3 hours long.
Like these days we would say, why isn't that on eShop, you know? And I think that Nintendo's task there is communicating the size of that game,
but at the same time I don't want that game to be like 20 hours of the same thing over and over again either. Like
I mean that's their challenge is this game is more complicated and more, you know, nuanced than the last game, which was very, very simple, and also it's longer.
I mean, I would honestly
Paper
say
Mario, I think, is sort of the cool one.
That's what I was just going to say. I would honestly say that I'm more excited for Paper Mario than either of those other two games.
It goes New Super Mario Brothers, then Paper Mario, then Luigi for me.
New Super Mario Brothers will be very fun. I'm going to play the crap out of it. I'll find all the coins. But
I won't find all the coins.
Yeah, you won't.
That's true.
You definitely won't.
Good point. But I just mean, I know Audrey wrote about this, but I feel like I'm in the minority that I just don't want any more New Super Mario Brothers games. Like I'm going to play both of these, but like just move on after this.
I think their problem, and I know why they did it. These things sell well, but they needed to put one next year and bite the bullet. And I mean, they're sitting there going, Mario will be at launch because that's what people want. And it's true and fine.
But we want a Galaxy's type Mario. Yeah. And like, I agree,
but I think that's Wii U's problem. I don't think that's 3DS's problem. This is exactly what I want on 3DS. I mean, 3D Land is awesome too. I mean, no doubt. But like, this is exactly the game that's fine for me on 3DS.
Just, for me, if they were going to rehash in any way, I would have rather seen another game in the 3D Land engine than another new Super Mario Brothers game.
I mean, I suspect that they will revisit that in the 3DS lifetime, but that takes more lot longer.
Sure, of course. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, those levels are more complicated too.
Yeah. Anyway, Monster Hunter 4. I wish. I mean, I really want Bravely Default, and I really want Project Crosszone too.
Crosszone looks so good.
Yeah, it does. Both those games. Bravely Default looks crazy good. Yeah. I have a feeling Default will come here, knowing Square, but it'll just be a while. Like it'll be like mid to late next year. I actually think 2013 for us here for 3DS could be really interesting. Fire Emblem, Animal Crossing, maybe Bravely Default.
First
maybe
quarter a Monster could be crazy Hunter. If those all come back to back to back.
I think they'll spread out quite a bit. I think you'll look at like Fire Emblem is like February or March, and then Animal Crossing is considerably later than that.
Don't tell me that.
I suspect that's like May, June, maybe.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Lying. Yeah,
you're dead to me. Hit the bell.
They'll spread it out a bit. She's all right. Too eager to hit that bell.
Yeah. How long have we been recording?
48 minutes.
Okay. Oh, wow, really? Yeah. We started late.
Pick a couple questions there, but then we got to get Altano's questions, which are all going to be crazy and ridiculous.
Yeah, we'll fly through them real quick.
Real quick.
Okay, this is from Laura. Wii U has several different controller options. Will Nintendo have to package them all with the system? No.
No, I think it'll just come with one gamepad. The system and the gamepad. Yeah.
You don't there's think not going to be a Wiimote. There's
you don't
not
think no Wiimote? No,
I would
no
guess
way.
Not.
Nothing.
I guess not the Pro controller.
Pro will be separate.
Maybe if they have a bunch of the old ones that didn't sell well, like the Ice Blue Wiimotes, throw a bunch of crap in there.
Like the SpongeBob branded ones.
I feel like they have to. I think they have to include one Wii Remote. Because otherwise, how are you supposed to play? Because
I don't need another Wii Remote.
Exactly. That's my problem. Like by including a Wii Remote, it would mean that we're gonna get crappy Wii related games for like it wouldn't set apart the system to me.
No, sure.
Like I would rather see them like it's compatible. Like I don't think any game should be released for that system that requires you to have a Wiimote.
Maybe the smart move is to discount the price on the Wii remotes, make them cheaper.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm hoping. I don't know. Like Nintendo Land scares me because all of those games involve Wiimotes, and it's like I don't.
That's what
by
I'm
doing. Yeah, like exactly. By doing that at launch, they're committing to supporting the Wiimote forever.
Well, they already are. They already are.
That's the worst.
No, don't worry. Nintendo doesn't support anything forever. They give it like 2 or 3 years of love, and then they just abandon their children.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ding.
Aiden Dalby. I don't even need to push it now. Aiden Dalby says the DSi XL is marketed towards an older market. Do you think the 3DS XL will be marketed the same way, and if so, will it work?
That was no, because it's like the hip, cool thing now. Their marketing is like, look at this sexy thing.
I think they were surprised that it wasn't just older people who were into the XLs, just also gamers who were like, wow, it's a big, gorgeous screen. I love it. So now they realized the mass appeal
when it came out. Like the marketing was old people, and the colors. We were talking about that last week. The colors are just awful, and it was like, wait a second, just. Like, I want that. Please give it to me in a color that's not insulting.
Make it look
weird.
Cool. Yeah. Not all of us are going blind.
Yeah, exactly. I just remember there being like a burgundy color. I'm like, I am not touching that at all. So, anyway. Yeah. Altano?
Cool. So, Rich asked me to go on Twitter. And
I'm going to regret this, aren't I?
You guys have a lot of really good followers that, you know, stay up to date news.
Please classify your followers.
Alcoholic, psycho, crazy people, or idiot children. But I love you all. Thank
you. Wow, you just had 1,000 people unfollow you.
Follow me on Twitter, Agent Bizzle. I went on Twitter. I said, "Hey, I'm going on NBC." So, what are your questions?
Did you get a lot of what's
and
NBC?
I got a lot of that. I got a lot of really bad ones, like what's Mario's brother's name? Like, Google
it. Good, excellent.
What is Mario's brother's name?
You're out.
Yeah, get out of here.
Ding the bell on Gold Farm.
Travis Arnold says, my question for the cast is, when and to who did you lose your handheld virginity to? And that is a weird question.
Well.
Okay, so that's the first handheld system you bought, not the first time that, just to worry.
Thank you for
I'll
cutting me off.
Remember
so
that
I,
summer.
I think I have a horrible answer to this, and I think it was Tiger.
Explain.
No, I'm not a tiger. That's
a horrible answer to either version of this question.
Okay. I banged a tiger.
Just handheld.
Okay. That doesn't count.
Okay. No. Back in the 80s, Tiger made really bad knockoff games. And I think this was before I believe it was before Nintendo put out the Game Boy, where you could get a game and it was just like, you know, what did they even make? Like they would take any existing video game franchise that I can't remember any of right now. Like they'd be like Ninja Turtles. You'd be like, cool.
That's, actually funny you bring that up.
Yeah, you put batteries in it, and then the screen was all LCD. So like the second you turned it on, you saw everything that that game would ever show you.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, so that's Donatello. He's got one leg that moves backwards 3 times, forward twice. His arm would move up 3 times, and then you could either win, lose, or get killed by a bat. I was like, okay, well, that's the whole game. And then you'd go and you'd play and it'd just be like level one. It was the same thing. Everything would just get harder and faster.
That's, it's like a Game & Watch almost.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Really
it was just
primitive.
Like
primitive. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, actually it was probably either a Game & Watch or Tiger.
Yep.
But that was, you know, before Game Boys.
That's exactly for me too. I suspect Game Boy was out when I had one, but mine was the same idea. It was actually a Ninja Turtles one.
Yeah.
It was, I'm pretty sure it was some sort of tiger, whatever the hell. And it might have been developed by Konami, though, or something like that, in a tiger machine or something. But it was like, you know, little four-directional control, up is jump, and, you know, you sit there and wait for the little foot soldier to, like, move across 3 little blips, and they would make the little blip sounds, and... And I remember being really damn good at it, but, and then, I'm not sure what the first dedicated handheld, I played other people's handhelds most of the time, cause I would buy the console and I didn't have any money. If I wanted games for my console, then I wasn't buying a handheld.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I had, my sister's hand-me-down Game Boy for a long time. I think I had her Game Boy Pocket also was originally hers. I think the first system my parents bought for me that was a handheld was the Game Gear, actually.
Oh, nice.
See, my friend across loved you.
My friend across the street had a Game Gear, so I would play his Game Gear, and then my cousins had a Game Boy, so I'd play their Game Boy.
But I only had, like, I think almost the entire time I had a Game Gear, the only game I had was Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine. Like, I remember getting Sonic after I'd had that thing for a really long time.
Yeah, my friend had Sonic, and I remember us playing it a couple times, but each time we would be playing it, the batteries would die. And I'd be like, where's some 6C batteries?
Yeah, yeah, that was exactly, and, that was exactly the thing.
Every time the battery would die, we would just go set it under the bed and go play NES. Yeah.
Right, and that was the thing. Like, when I really, like, when I got a Game Boy Color eventually, dude, like, that was it. Like, I played so much of that. Mm-hmm. Link's Awakening DX and...
Yeah.
Oh, what was the other game
I remember putting, like, my copy of Pokemon Blue in my Color once I got that. And it was like, oh, I can see inside the cave.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you just had to sort of feel your way around. You know, my first was a Game Boy, and I just adored it, even though it probably is why I need contacts now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I loved it. I took it everywhere.
Do you wear contacts?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I have to go get my eyes checked
soon.
Now
you know.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
But yeah.
I love that I was just making fun of old people for going blind. I'm staring at Photoshop all day. I can't see shit.
Do you have like Triforce glasses or anything?
Yes. Yes, Bob, I do.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I just picture her having Triforce glasses.
All right. Next Altano question. Go.
Which Nintendogs game is your favorite? No, you can't choose all of them. Damn, I was going to do that.
I choose none of
all
them.
All of them.
Yeah.
The one with the plus cats.
Yeah.
Plus the cats. Funny thing to me is that some of those games are like discounted to like $19.99 and some of them are still full price. And I'm like, why is Golden Retriever more expensive than Shih Tzu?
Because everybody likes Golden Retrievers.
It's like a real pound.
Yeah. Oh, that's sad.
Where they're like, look, he's going to die. No one wants him.
Now everyone's sad.
I actually... whichever the one that came out with the launch of the 3DS is.
That was from Kyle Conway, by the way.
That was Plus Cats.
Okay, so let's say Plus Cats.
Laura,
Plus Cats,
Laura Kate Golden Dale Retriever. Says, if you could get rid of one Nintendo-exclusive franchise for a Sony-exclusive one, which one would they be? I mean, obviously things don't work like this, but I would probably get rid of... Like, I don't know, Doshin the Giant for Uncharted.
Seriously, exactly. Trade Kirby for, like, Jack and Daxter or Uncharted,
I wouldn't want to see Kirby go.
No.
Nah.
For Kirby Daxter.
As much as I mock Kirby, it's only more, like, he's very traditional adventures that I'm kind of bored with, but, like, the versatility of that franchise with like Mass Attack and stuff like that, I think it's really genius.
Oh my god, we got Rich saying something nice about Kirby.
Oh, yeah, please.
This is a big deal.
I always say that.
So you're right. There's two distinct Kirbys. There's the Kirby in like Canvas Curse and Epic Yarn that's like really creative and interesting. And then there's like Return to Dreamland where it's like you could replace these characters with any generic license and it would be a
broken
dumb
game where I can fly over a whole game. Yeah. Excellent. Yep. I remember we were playing like at the very end of the game. I was like, I'm just going to fly.
Yeah. It was like this crazy gap with fire underneath it. It was like, how are you going to do it? How are you going to jump? And you can just fly. So it's like, it's not. They forgot that when they were developing that game.
I know.
I would actually want Sony's. It's not a franchise. It's all the creative stuff that comes out of Japan. It's like the, you know, Ico, Team Ico stuff, and, you know, and Shadow of Colossus.
Yeah, well, those games don't actually come out, so don't worry about it.
I know, exactly.
I would trade for The Last Guardian because I hate playing things.
Yeah, that's no different than Nintendo, really.
Yeah, you could trade those for a brand new Metroid portable game.
I want Nintendo to get Final Fantasy back and it to be good again.
Do you
want to
trade some
Sony franchise?
Well, it's always on Sony. Sort of.
Versus
anymore.
13 is exclusive to Sony. Exo.
Audrey, don't lie. You want to trade Smash Brothers for PlayStation Battle Royale.
Oh, can I?
Hey, no. There's a big daddy in it.
I want my punches to not mean anything. Please.
Damn.
Please.
Okay. All right. There are multiple game modes.
Yeah, I mean, I would say stuff like that. Polyphony and Gran Turismo, I think, would be a smart Nintendo acquisition.
Sure. Nintendo needs actually a really good racing game. Oh, wait, they have Mario Kart. Shut up.
I mean, Mario Kart's great, but I think Nintendo does need...
F-Zero?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Can we just have F-Zero back?
They need
back?
That.
A realistic racing simulator.
I haven't screamed at my television to throw in a controller playing a racing game in a long time. F-Zero for GameCube was one of the most infuriating...
and awesome.
It was great. Once you really got in, it was great. But there were some challenges in that game that were just like,
oh, sure.
I hate you.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hate you so hard, Nintendo. And I know there was just a bunch of people sitting there going like, ha ha ha. Fail, you little shit. God damn it.
That was Sega, technically. But
Paul Dunn asks, Mario or Luigi?
Luigi.
I'm gonna say Luigi.
Luigi. Next. Yeah.
Luigi. Next.
You don't have
Rich
an answer to that?
Answer.
Bowser.
What?
That's,
I'm going to say Luigi because no one picks him. And I know that's like...
You just picked him.
He's awesome in everything except for Super Mario Brothers 2, where he jumps like a crazy person.
Yeah.
What? That's the best game because it was like Luigi's finally different and not just...
You have to play
clone.
As the princess in that game. There's no one else to play as.
That is true.
It's the princess or nobody else.
He's more frightened.
The princess is god mode in that game.
Yeah,
Paul Prince says, do you expect Nintendo to create other first-party franchises other than their established retreads? Nintendo Land doesn't
count. It's called Steel Diver, dude.
Oh, yeah. That went well.
I really would love if this generation we saw like a really good first-party
I think we'll see
new
something
IP.
New. I think
yeah, well,
Miyamoto
Miyamoto's
will have
working
something
on
new.
New IP, so...
Yeah. I would love
that's
it.
Like really exciting. That's more exciting to me than anything.
He's made
else.
A few good things in his time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see them use the eShop as the testing ground for new franchises and then kind of use those.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Started doing that, like Pushmo.
That's the thing. Like I think for some things that works really well. I still would love to see them just unveil like a totally incredible first party. Big retail title that just blows everyone
you're
away.
You're not gonna. I don't think you're gonna anything that big because it's very difficult to risk a lot on those sorts of things. It's just. I mean, it's not safe. I mean, you look at how many ex developers gone out of business stories have you written in the past 6 months?
Of course, but with the new generation, like you will see new IPs on the new Sony and Microsoft consoles.
To extent,
like, with the new generation, you will see new IPs.
I don't
and Nintendo
necessarily.
Needs one.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. Well, Nintendo has more than all the other people combined, but I mean, like I. Disagree in the sense that I think you'll see a little bit, but I think the industry has changed and people are scared of that sort
I mean,
of stuff.
So even looking at other developers,
just go play Pushmo.
Yeah, but okay.
I mean,
of course,
we're talking about games that
let's
sell
say let's say retro
2 million copy selling games are considered failures now.
Yeah.
That's a disaster. That's just fucked.
Goldfarb, what makes you think that Nintendo would ever let Retro do a new IP again after all the stuff they've done with existing IPs have come out so well?
Yeah.
Like they did Donkey Kong and it sold insanely well and it was awesome.
I mean, again, I think it would be so smart for Nintendo to give little groups of developers at EAD the free rein to go make eShop games while we're continuing to see the bigger games. Because the bigger games, let's face it, like I don't think you would have ever seen a Pikmin debut in this day and age. I think we were lucky to see it debut 10 years ago, but like... Just seeing it now is even just like, oh god, are you guys really gonna do that? Like,
where's the blood? It's harder to take a chance.
Things like totally, I understand all of that, obviously, and like from the business side, I totally get it. But I'm just saying, in terms of what I want, what I would like to see from Nintendo, it's 100% new IP.
Yeah, I mean, and just look at something like Naughty Dog and those guys. You know, they're making huge games and they're just not selling a ton.
Yeah,
and I don't know. It just,
I mean, it's hard being a studio. As talented as Naughty Dog and being owned by one publisher. Because, I mean, if their games were multi-platform, I think they would just perform better.
Sure, every And I mean, again, and I think that's why you can't necessarily do new IPs as a single-platform publisher.
Sure.
Is because then you run the risk of doing that. I think Nintendo would be smart to grab some of its lesser-known franchises that sort of exist in the minds of people and maybe build those out a little
bit. But that's
bit.
The thing. It's like, I honestly don't know how Sony does it because Sony owns these studios.
They lose billions of dollars every year.
Yes. But I mean,
I literally am not sure how Sony is supposed to stay in business if they keep doing this. They're like, sorry about that, guys.
Well, it's just sad because they also sell TVs and electronics.
And that's all failing,
but
too.
That's exactly. Yeah. Like, that's ironically, the game side is making money. That's the only part that is. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what's so funny about Sony. Yeah. I look at that studio.
Everyone you know and all your friends don't own 3D TVs?
Seriously. That was a good bet. That was a smart one. I don't know. Like, you look at them making, you know, look at Naughty Dog making The Last of Us, making Uncharted this generation. Look at stuff like Infamous. Like, they're taking risks on things that are great games, and that's the thing. You're absolutely right. They're not selling well. And so, like, I can see why Nintendo wouldn't. But at the same time, like, you know, if something like The Last of Us can come from Sony, like, what could Nintendo make if they were able to make a new IP?
Mm-hmm. An interesting thing that Sony's doing is with PlayStation Plus, they're basically trying to garner interest in all these games by just giving them away for free. Right. It's like all these games that like I wanted to try that like I didn't or whatever. Like now, boom, I can play them. Now I want to go back and get the others. Like it's a brilliant move on that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and their goal for them is that you'll fall in love with Infamous and buy Infamous 3 whenever it comes out.
Yeah,
but, I do admire.
But how well does that work? Is it like?
I mean, they're willing to take a lot of risks, and good for them. I don't know that it's financially. I mean, Nintendo's already facing really tough constraints, and Nintendo's biggest risk is not their IPs and their games, it's always the system itself.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, why is that a more acceptable risk than taking a risk on a new IP? Like, why is
what I'm saying is doing one or the other probably makes sense. Trying to do both is practically suicidal.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that's basically taking a leap off the cliff.
I would also say that something like The Last of Us isn't the riskiest of
IPs.
That's
true. It's effectively a zombie game.
Yeah. It's a zombie action game where you shoot things in the head.
I'm saying. Like, I mean, those games look beautiful and they're fun. Like, all the games I just mentioned, like Uncharted, Infamous, and Last of Us are like some of the coolest things to come out of this generation. But exactly, they are to a certain extent derivative. And it's like, that's why a Nintendo new IP would be so exciting.
And I love
it would
the Uncharted games, crazy. But I mean, you know, they do feel derivative of certain action platforms that came before them.
Right, and of Indiana Jones. Like, I mean, like,
and Tomb Raider, and now Tomb Raider is being influenced by, and it's very cyclical. Yeah, but and also like The Last of Us being a new IP, that's gonna be fun when it's time to make sequels and they're like even less of us.
I would really like to see that game.
Just a few of us.
I mean, here's the problem.
Literally, it's just me. I'm it.
Just me.
me and a zombie hanging out.
Plus cats.
Yeah, plus cats.
My big problem too, I think, with the entire industry is everyone says new IP, and then something like Last of Us or whatever shows up. Now, Last of Us is kind of an exception because that does actually look somewhat different. I think there is enough of it that
they're trying stuff. Yeah.
So much of this industry, when they're like new IP, it looks exactly the same as all the other IPs out there.
But take like BioShock then, or take like
Infinite. That's why Infinite stands aside. But a lot of these games are really just sameish. And like
Samey.
We had Y's to thing, not issues.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, I just feel like it. A lot of it looks the same, and a lot of it after a while, it all becomes noise to me, and it all just becomes a bunch of neck stabbing, head shooting, blood everywhere, boring crap. And you know, it's even why something like Zombie U is as exciting as I think that is in some respects. Like at the same time, I'm like, FPS zombie, blah 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 blah. Don't care. You know.
To be honest, when I spent like a lot of time playing Wii U stuff at E3, but by the time I got to Zombie U, I just couldn't do it. Like I wasn't, especially after playing all the similar zombie games and stuff at E3, playing so many first person shooters. Like, yeah, that was one of the two games on Wii U I didn't play at E3. Which is interesting.
I mean, it's good.
My issue with it had nothing to do with the game. It's more like I like games like that. I play like on a very intimate basis. Like I like to be at home. I like to have the lights off. I have my big screen TV in front of me and my surround sound. And I get to sit there and play something like that. And playing like a survival horror game on the show floor surrounded by people in jorts and fedoras.
Connected to a woman by a chain.
Yeah, it's just a bit much. It's just like, looks cool. I love the concept. And actually, I did one of those things, which is so hard for me to do in this industry and where I work. But I was like, I really like that. I want
to
stay away from it until it's
out. That's so hard
to do. It's basically impossible. Yeah. Like, we all have like seen The Dark Knight Rises by now already just by looking at IGN every single day.
We got Rich and I went to see Spider-Man the other night, and like Rich, Mitch, and I were so angry that they showed a Dark Knight Rises trailer.
I told you what I did, right? I shut my eyes and I'm not listening.
Heard them telling you
Mitch and I didn't do that, but we were just like, God
damn it. I'm so done. Like, at some point, and games are a little harder to do this with, but like, especially with movies, like if I already know I want to see a movie, I don't want to see any more of it. Like, just stop.
Especially
just
when we're like 2 weeks from
speaking of stopping, we've been going for a long time, so we should probably wrap this up, Koopalings.
Spread it, Koopalings.
No, it's not a thing.
Oh man, that is a new
no.
thing, right?
Okay, NBC at IGN.com. Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.